from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right back at it on The Fan, you heard? Let's get it. Quick 2-hour show here, really. I mean, tried to condense my open there. Shout out to Dexter Henry on the update. Double A, Alex's arm is behind the glass. Rami LaVie just exited the building. Keith McPherson here till 2 a.m. till C-Mac comes through. We got to talk Mets and Yankees. All is not lost for the Mets. I know there are so many people like, it's crazy. I know there's Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. I was talking about that online today, too. Yankee fans literally arguing what's the worst loss of the year. Masataka Yoshida, the Boston game. No, the Mets. The Mets coming there and pummeling us to sweep us. No, Baltimore. Wait, going into the All-Star break. Anthony Volpe, Verdugo, Clay Holmes. Are you kidding me? The White Sox are the worst team in history. That's the best game they played all year. That's embarrassing. That's humiliating. And we lost Jazz. Who cares, yo? I'm like, what's the best win of the year? And overwhelmingly, people were saying Houston. And I'm like, nah, that was too long ago. You can't go back to the first series of the year. And then people were saying Philly, which is more recent. But I'm like, Philly sucks now. Or at least they were in a bad run then. So like, I couldn't even put too much stock in that. But for the Met fan, it seems like there's so many Mets fans that were like, told you so. No, not yet, though. You can't really redeem that. You can't redeem your told you so token just yet. You can't go back to your tweets of, I'm not going to get all happy and excited over Grimace. I'm not going to believe in this team having a team meeting and Jose Iglesias because I know that the Mets are going to Met. There's so many fans waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, here we go. The Giants tie it on a wild pitch. So I said I was going to keep eyes on those games, as Mets fans should keep eyes on the other games. Now it's 3-3. Who do you want to win? 888-808-1019. You probably want the Braves to win? Nah, I mean, the Giants are right on your heels. So you wouldn't want them to win. You're in it. You're in a race. And I did see a tweet earlier that was like, listen, it's August 13th. Now it's August 14th. It's Wednesday. Good morning. And it was like, you know, David Stearns and Steve Cohen said that this team would be a postseason team. And on August 13th, they return home and they have a chance. They're right on, you know, on the outside looking into the wild card. They still have the chance to be. And it's all right in front of them still. They just got to wake up. They got to pitch. It's like you got to pitch better. They didn't have a shot tonight. And the other games, they didn't hit at all. They got to get it to come together. And it's getting late in the season. It's the dog days. It is what it is. But help is on the way. Dednil Nunez closing in on a rehab assignment. Starling Marte. Help is on the way. So I don't know. I would hope that you're sticking around. I would hope that you have some faith, that the fun that you had makes you feel like, hey, this is baseball. This is a tough stretch, but these guys could hit. I said, you know, they had multiple games where they had double-digit hits, double-digit runs. They got to get back to that, and they got to pitch, and they got to hold it down. The deadline is over, though. Help is not coming by the way of trades. Ross is in Bergen County. What's up, Ross? You're on The Fan. Oh, no. Hey, this is Ross in New York City. I'm sorry about that. I thought it was my guy, Ross in Bergen County. Sorry.
No worries. How are you, Keith?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to talk Mets tonight. So I was at the game tonight, you know, ever since that first inning, you know, it was deflating. I mean, it gets back to that theme of everyone's waiting for the shoe to drop, and you know what, it did tonight. But I look at stuff big picture. If you told us beginning of the season that we'd be here, like this is where we'd expect to be, you know, competing for that third wild card spot, not quite there. But, you know, with the ups and downs of the seasons, it definitely hurts right now. But, I mean, there is a lot of season left. I'm not writing it off just yet. But, honestly, going forward, I can't really see how to be optimistic about this team with the pitching, with the bullpen, with the hitting. The hitting really just has to be hot for us to even sniff that third wildcard spot. And if the team's on their tails, like the Giants, etc., I don't know. It's just hard to see. I mean, if it doesn't happen this season, that's all right. I really don't think even if we make the playoffs, we're going anywhere. But that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Russ. I'll say this. Like, you know, Jose Buto coming in tonight, Edwin Diaz being used. As soon as Paul Blackburn got in trouble, I was listening to Howie Rose call the game, and they're talking about, well, you got to use Buto because he's the only guy that can give you two or three innings, and then he gives it up. I mean, it's tough to look at the bright side. There is no bright side, but you got to have some kind of faith that, hey, they can get hot again, that we saw this team go on a run, go on a tear. It's in there. They got to find it again. The pitching has to match up with the hitting. The hitting has to match up with the pitching. I mean, the schedule is not going to do you any favors because we are in the part of the schedule where the teams that are playing spoilers are playing spoilers. You can't take them lightly. And then the teams that are playing for something, like this upcoming schedule, like it's tough. You got to beat the Oakland A's. You got to beat the Marlins because then you face the Orioles, the Padres, the Diamondbacks on the road. Now all of a sudden the White Sox have a little bit of life and you go down there to end the month. 888-808-1019. But yes, the thought of, hey, where we are right now, you know, starting the season off terribly, where we are right now is better than being out of it, right? You could be the ones playing spoilers. You could be the ones playing for nothing. But now, you know, you have a team that's right in the thick of it, and you at least having the ability to look at a game right now with the Braves and the Giants, looking at a game right now in the bottom of the ninth as the Diamondbacks are trying to fight the Rockies off. You're in it. You're in the hunt. And that makes every day fun. That makes every day competitive. That makes every day, you know, feel like, hey, we have a shot today. Four-game losing streak's not fun, but it's not over. There's still plenty of games left, and you got to believe that if this team was able to dig out of the hole that they were in the beginning of the season, they can dig out of this minor hole right now. 888-808-1019. Still talking Mets. Let's go to David in Lakewood. What's up, David? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, I'm calling about the Mets tonight. I'm just very disappointed with Paul Blackburn tonight, and just really the starting rotation the past couple of days have been terrible. The offense has been terrible the past couple of days. I'm saying what should have happened tonight with the Mets win, the Braves lose, the Giants, I know they're right at the Mets, but if they just win, the Mets win, they both move up and the Braves lose. I'm just quite disappointed with the Mets tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow because of Paul Blackburn being the starter you added, making his Citi Field debut. He's been good. Like, as you're talking about the rest of the guys in the rotation not being good, he's been good. But, like, you had to have the thought, going against his former team, these guys literally know him, he could get rocked. And he gave it up right away. So it takes the air out of the building in the first inning. And it puts you in a hole that you got to work out of in the first inning with a lineup right now that's been disconnected, that hasn't been thriving like they were just a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, David. Weren't sure if you were still there. Listen, it's baseball. You're going to go through stretches, and this is going to tell you a lot. This is going to tell you a lot. This homestand, right? Your owner said, hey, we're back. What was the rest of the quote, which I thought was hilarious, just thinking about my guy, Loogie. Loogie, Evan comes back. And Evan's telling Loogie, no, you cannot say it was a good road trip. No, you can't. And Loogie's like, oh, yes, I can. And so he keeps going. It was good. You know, they went to multiple cities, the thin air in Colorado. They had to make a stop in Missouri. The owner comes out and says it was a grueling road trip. But then he says, we are right in the hunt for a playoff spot. It's a big homestand. Let's get behind our team and make some noise at the stadium. And in the first inning, it's like, womp, womp, womp. But this is it. This is what I got to remind you, too, was this is something I was saying before. I'm like, they're not a juggernaut. They're not elite. It's not going to be a rocket ship to the top. So that's why when, I mean, obviously you beat the Yankees, which I was telling y'all, man, the Yankees don't care about the Subway Series. Like, the guys that you were facing lead off and clean up in that first game of the Bronx side of the Subway Series aren't on the team. Like, the Yankees do that. The Yankees have done that multiple years in the Subway Series. They'll show you some guys, and then they'll get rid of them. They'll get rid of them. They'll pitch Jordan Montgomery. They'll trade his ass. They'll pinch hit Joey Gallo. They'll trade his ass. Like, they literally roll out guys that they don't care about against the Mets, and it's almost like they give you false hope. Then you're rolling into the series with the Braves. You have like a miracle win. Ramon Laureano running over a fly ball, running past the fly ball. And then people start proclaiming things. Oh, the wild card is over. It's locked up. The Mets are a postseason team. Don't make any plans for October. And it's like, hey, yo, pump your brakes. We got to slow down. Now here's Ross in Bergen County. Ross, I thought that was you before.
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, you scared me because I tried calling in and it wasn't going through. I didn't know if I was on a hot mic or something. What's going on there? All right, I'm gonna preface it with this, and I know this statement's gonna make it sound like I got a pretty damn good life, which I do, and I'm blessed. So speaking on sports terms, this has been one of the worst days of my life, man. All right, I wake up around noon, I think 1 o'clock,
JJ.
And I'm a couple hours removed. Yep, and I tell my father, I got a bowling league with my father. I tell my father, she says the knee soreness. I said, it's never a couple days with the knee. You always know it's going to be something bad, and they're just afraid to reveal it. Well, lo and behold, around noon today, it gets revealed. It's the meniscus, and we're talking this or that. Let's be real. He's most likely out for the year, and they're just trying to, you know, beat around the bush with it. Because that's what it was with Kirk, you know, the couple seconds of hope. JJ, we didn't know he pulled his hammy right away. And, I mean, this is a couple, you know, days removed from seeing the Wolves, you know, our ownership, Ziggy Wolf and company, bragging about the newly installed turf up there in Minnesota. And so far, I took out the knees of Mekhi Blackman and J.J. McCarthy, so I got that. A couple hours later, and this has been on the cusp for years, but this is when it got revealed, is Sam Rosen retiring. Like, we knew he was, you know, one foot out the door for a couple of years
one
now.
More year.
Kind of been on the. Yeah, I mean, he's been slipping up on calls and stuff, so I guess, you know, he's going out. Listen, he's going to go out on his own terms, and like I kind of said with John Sterling, I mean, that's all you could ask for, and I'm glad, you know, I heard more asked before, win it for Sam. You know they won't, but hashtag win it for Sam. And then now you got the Mets, and I'm working. I can't even log into SNY. It's a whole other story, but I guess that was the one blessing I had today. And just another typical debacle. I hate rehashing September 2022, but that's all it is. It's this franchise's MO. Right, and you even brought up the awesome Adams. It's Paul Sewald all over again with the "Let me hear the crowd louder" with the cup in the air.
Mm.
All right, now we got this dope doing it all over again. You know, and he got traded for a reason. He's garbage. Oakland can't even save his career. Soon to be Sacramento, and they're just getting embarrassed, and rightfully so. He deserves to talk all the crap he wants to tonight because they're going out sad, and it's in their own hands. Because you see, I don't know if you saw this. This so-called fantastic Seattle pitching staff, which they're great. I'm not taking that away from them, but it's not a cop-out to score in one run in 27 innings. The Detroit Tigers put up 15 runs on
that's
George
what I said. I thought they were elite. Oh, the Yankees
Detroit
better watch
Tigers,
out.
The Detroit Tigers with Javier Baez and Kerry Carpenter. The majority of people in the city probably could have named five bats in that lineup, myself included. And that team could put 15 runs up on that lineup. We couldn't put up two in three games. And the one we put up didn't even matter because there's no garbage time in baseball. But, you know, for the Mets lately, 3-0 is garbage time. You know, let alone if they got runners in scoring position, it's even worse. I was on Twitter before. You could give them 10 outs with a guy on second base. They wouldn't bring him in.
Yeah,
and, you know,
the lineup is disconnected. What is it,
it's
Ross?
It's an embarrassment, man.
They're striking out. They're grounding out. They're popping out. And it doesn't have
they're
same feel of the lineup that I saw in Yankee Stadium that was relentless, that was giving us hell, that everybody was coming up and getting some.
Mets. That's where you coined them, and that's what they were. Now, so now on my TV, what I currently got on is D-backs postgame with Jake McCarthy just getting a Gatorade shower, because I don't know if you just saw their fourth walk-off in the past week, you know, hand-in-hand with the Padres, I think, third in the last 5 days. Because those are two teams that play with resilience. Those are two teams that play a full nine innings. And now you could even argue that's somewhat Fugazi. I think San Diego, one of the two, had like four extra inning wins in 5 days. It's like, you know, from Breaking Bad, Jesse Pinkman, he can't keep getting away with this. But, it's, you know, like you say, it's all about getting the wins. They're getting wins. Hell, even the Braves are, you know, treading more water right now. And honest to God, I don't even think it's hyperbole to say that bad teams are the Mets' kryptonite. Because there's just a lack of urgency against them. I'm legitimately afraid to play these next five games against Oakland and Miami. I'd rather have the challenge against, you know, Baltimore. And honest to God, I always knock their lineup. You know, I brought up Rushman in the slump. He'll turn into Johnny Bench those three games. And then they got that San Diego and Arizona series, man. So maybe that's got to be the wake-up call in that do-or-die seven-game set. But they'll probably dig themselves in too deep of a hole against these bottom feeders that would probably give them a two- or three-game hook against the Braves right now. But I don't know, man. It's so many missed opportunities, and this is just a nightmare all around, man. So I don't know. I think it's going to be the same old crap tomorrow, and we just got to see. But it's not looking good right now, man.
You got to sleep it off, Ross. Get some rest, brother. Get a good night's sleep. It'll be a new day. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I don't know. The Diamondbacks just walked it off, and they're playing the type of baseball that they were playing last year when they were finding their way late in the year, and then they did it all the way through October. Like, these guys are smelling it again. They're feeling it again. It's like they're getting deja vu flashbacks again. Jake McCarthy wins it, and they walk off the Rockies. And when you look at the standings, right, they have a W5. That's a five-game win streak. They're 4.5 games up in the wild card now. When we go back to where I was talking about just a couple weekends ago, when the Mets were there, when the Braves were there, they were on the outside looking in. The San Diego Padres right now are trying to hold on. Let me go back to the scores. The San Diego Padres have won. They added another insurance run in the eighth. They win 3-0. These teams are now building some space. They're gaining some ground in the wild card hunt. The Braves are sitting there. And now you look at the Mets. Let's see where this Braves and Giants game is right now. The Braves in the bottom of the 10th are up 4-3. 888-808-1019. I can't talk you off the ledge tonight. What I'll say is all is not lost. It's right in front of them. It's a bad stretch. But this is a team that you saw light up the scoreboard. This is a team that had some cosmic energy from Grimace and OMG and Jose Iglesias and Glizzy Izzy and all these different things. Where is that now? What, they got to tap into something now. A team meeting. Guys got to get it done. Pete Alonso has got to carry. Guys like Francisco Lindor, Jeff McNeil, Nimmo, Francisco Alvarez, if J.D. Martinez, we'll see. I got to get the update on J.D. Martinez hit by pitch, but like they need a hero. They need heroics now, because when the sink is shipping, when the ship is sinking, everybody starts to go down with it. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to some Yankee fans. Jason and Edison, you're on the fan. You got it.
Yeah, hey, Keith.
What's up, Jack?
What's up? I'd like to talk about Juan Soto and his borderline historic game. When I heard that this player, who's still fighting for some fans, for his recognition as a Yankee, hit three home runs going on four, joining Lou Gehrig, one of the all-time greats in the entire history of the MLB, I was actually crazy shocked. Like, this is someone who's been bouncing around the league for years and years looking for a team who's still, like, the team that he's going to stay with. He was on the Nationals where he was battling the Mets there. He was on the Padres with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. But I feel like he still has something to prove. And, like, young prospects on the Yanks and, like, new big leaguers like Anthony Volpe, he still wants to prove to fans that he belongs there.
Yeah, you know what I think it is when I watch Juan Soto? I don't even know who. I don't think he's trying to prove it to fans. I think he's trying to prove it to himself. That's why I say his compete level is infectious. Like, this guy was pressing two nights ago, striking out two nights ago. I think he worked two walks, but, like, his swing, he was just missing. You could just tell he was off, probably because he was trying to homer in that ballpark. He hadn't homered in that ballpark. So what did he do? After he had a bad game, he came back to the ballpark the next day, got in the cage, worked with the hitting coach, and said, I'm going to be on it. I watched his interview with Meredith. He said, I was working on, you know, my accuracy hitting the ball. And he had a historic night tonight. He hit three home runs. And when you talk about him, you know, bouncing around, the Nationals offered him $440 million. He didn't want it. So they traded him. And then the Padres, I don't think he worked in the clubhouse where they already paid Fernando Tatis Jr. They already paid Manny Machado. They knew they weren't going to be able to pay him, and it probably wasn't wise for them to pay him because there were too many alphas, too many egos. So they traded him to the Yankees, and I feel like he has a home. I feel like he belongs. I feel like when I see him and Judge do the crown and Superman thing, I'm like, that should be for the next 7 years. You know what I'm saying? Plus, if you know, we'll see how long Judge has 7 years on his contract. Let's see if Judge, you know, well, we can't predict the future. But what I'm saying is, like, that should go on for the rest of this decade. And this is a generational talent, a generational player. And we're getting to watch this. And he's got something to prove to himself every night. He is competitive with himself. He's 25. Jason, how old are you?
I'm a borderline teenager. I think I just borderline teenager.
You're 12. So this guy's only 13 years older than you, and he's a grown man out there. He's a generational talent. He's a Hall of Famer already. Like, when I was 25, I wasn't worth anything.
Okay, after that, so shocked about it. Awesome. Like, flip the page to Nasty Nestor. Bounce back game, hit the reset button after a couple got romped, like decimated on a lot of his starts. Hit the reset button. I know a lot of people are hating on him right now, a lot of those starts, but boy, I just got to give him a hand.
Yeah, Nestor is a guy that came out there during the All-Star break and said, you know, everybody likes to make jokes or laugh at the Yankees, but, you know, he's proud to be a Yankee, and the Yankees are in it every year. And when he said that, he came out and had a terrible couple outings. But tonight against the White Sox, I actually just saw Ricky Ricardo in here, and we talked about Nestor. I kind of knew he was going to lock in against them. When he faced the White Sox in Yankee Stadium, I got to sit in for Susan Waldman. I called that game, and he was dominant against them back in May. So if there ever was a get-right time on the road where he struggled, it was tonight when everybody needed him. The whole Yankee universe was depending on him. He goes 7 shutout. He strikes out 9. He didn't walk anybody. He was perfect through his first 3 innings. He didn't allow a base runner until Benintendi got another revenge knock. Like, Nestor Cortez was going to work. He wasn't doing any leg swings. He wasn't doing any pitch clock shenanigans. Yep. He was attacking the zone. He was feeling it, and he was going at batters. You even heard Flash and Rucco talking about it. Like, his pace, he's going to work. He's not even getting off the rubber.
Yeah. One more thing before we have to get off the call. I just want to tell you, I've been looking at, like, shows like Quick Pitch. I've been looking around the league for a long while now. The spoiler thing is real. Like, these teams, like the Rockies and the White Sox, they're out for blood. Like, they want to stop teams from getting into the playoffs.
Of course.
They're looking to cause problems.
Of course.
So, for teams like the Yankees, we need to start being conscious of this and figure something out so that this doesn't happen to us.
Put a pen in that, Jason, because the Rockies are headed here the weekend of Old Timers Day. And Alex Rodriguez is coming back. Wow, A-Rod, 13. And they're going to celebrate the 15 years since the last World Series, 2009. Guess who's coming to try and rain on that parade? The Colorado Rockies.
I hear it. can't make any overestimations.
No,
thanks
you can't
call.
Take anyone lightly. Thanks for the call, Jason. 888-808-1019. I mean, I just say that because I've seen it for years. And some years it's more prevalent than others, but like this year you can just tell there are the haves and the have-nots. There are the teams that have something to play for and the teams that do not. The teams that are just playing spoilers, that are going out there playing free, and there is no pressure. And then there's the teams that are squeezing a bat too tight and popping up and striking out and committing errors and leaving pitches in the zone because they're trying to win the World Series tonight. They're trying to punch their ticket to the postseason tonight. Baseball's not like that. It's different than like football. Football at the end of the year, scrub teams can't play spoiler. You can't play spoiler when you have Easton Stick under center. You know what I'm saying? It's just rare. You might have one or two games where a team can figure it out against a team that's pretty much a lock to go to the playoffs. Even with basketball in the NBA, they can punt games in the NBA. They can rest their starters and beat scrub teams. In baseball, it does not work like that, man. It just doesn't. Let's go to Louie in Lodi before we go to break. Louie, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing there, bud? First of all, Yankees, Juan Soto, great night. But you know what? I think he's going to have to win a World Series ring before they put him in the Hall of Fame. That's what Louis thinks anyway. What? And then Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are going to be spoiled.
I can't let you skip over that. Joe, what World Series did Joe Mauer win?
Well, who's Joe Mauer anyway? Don't tell me. Joe Pepitone? He's a fan favorite. What are you talking about, Joe Mauer?
You got
Come
it.
Come on, get
yeah.
real. Huh?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Let's
get real, huh?
We'll skip over. Go to the next.
All right, hold on.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go
All
ahead.
Right, let's go to the next. The Jets, they're going to play spoilers, you know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor, but they're not making the Super Bowl or nothing like that. Let's get real. There'll be spoilers, you know?
No.
And then the Giants, I think Tommy DeVito ought to play like Salvador keeps calling and saying, you know, he says he can kick a 150-yard field goal. You believe this guy?
Are you trolling me, Louie? I got to let you go, bro, because I don't know what's going on, bro. I'm sorry, yo. You got to be trolling me. Wait. Salvatore? I know Sal didn't say anything about Tommy DeVito being... I know Tommy Lugauer said that week one, Tommy DeVito should be the starting quarterback for the Giants. Ooh, Tommy was getting y'all, boy. That was Loogie week on the fan. Tommy was saying anything. I know Sal didn't come in. Sal just got back. He's got two shows after being on for a week. I know for a fact he didn't say anything about Tommy DeVito being the guy. And I guess now that I'm saying the word spoiler, the Jets are going to be spoilers? The Jets? I always say the Jets like that because Tyreek Hill, when he picked the Dolphins and they asked him about the Jets, he said, the Jets? Like never was an option. The Jets aren't being spoilers. What are you talking about, bro? The Jets have Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall, Alan Lazard, from what I'm hearing, is having a good camp. Garrett Wilson. They have a new offensive line. Braylon Allen, Agent Zero. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Like, I'm so mad about Jerry Jones trading a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance when you literally could have drafted Braylon Allen. Instead, you're going to be handing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott for 2.5 yards per carry. The Jets aren't playing spoilers. The Jets are playing for literal jobs. Their GM could be fired if they fail. Their head coach is surely fired if they fail. Their offensive coordinator is fired if they fail. And failing is probably anything less than a double-digit win season and a trip to the playoffs. And who is Joe Mauer? Joe Mauer was the Gatorade Player of the Year in football. When he came out of high school, he was so good at football, he had an offer to go to Florida State to play quarterback.
This kid was so good at baseball, though, he was drafted in his home state of Minnesota by the Minnesota Twins. And he was able to play for the Twins while living at home in Minnesota with his parents. Joe Mauer is a Hall of Famer, so when you mentioned that Juan Soto can't get into the Hall of Fame without a World Series ring, that's incorrect. Juan Soto's got a Hall of Fame trajectory. He may never... what am I saying? Juan Soto already has a World Series ring. And the rest is a Hall of Fame trajectory. They just put Joe Mauer in. Joe Mauer doesn't have a World Series ring. I could probably go through the... I don't even know the rest of the guys. Adrian Beltre? Adrian Beltre doesn't have a World Series ring. Juan Soto has a World Series ring from 2019. So just cross that off the list. The rest is him building his Hall of Fame resume. So that was a laugher. Just was like, let's just graze over that. One, Joe Mauer just got in. Adrian Beltre just got in. They're not counting how many trips to the World Series or World Series rings you have. And for you to say Juan Soto isn't getting into the Hall of Fame without a World Series ring, he already has one. You got to be trolling me. I know it's late. Loopy on the late night. I need some coffee. Keith McPherson on Fan. Call me up. We're talking sports. Mostly Yanks and Mets. I won't try and talk the Mets fans off the ledge because the more that I read and the more that I hear, I'm just like, we got to wait. Let's see what happens in this Oakland A's series. I just don't think that it's over yet. Mathematically, it's not over yet. Check the standings. Check what's going on. You're still very much in the hunt. And for the Yankees, okay, the rubber match is set. Will Warren on the mound, though. You still very much could lose the series to the Chicago White Sox. Great that Juan Soto put the team on his back. A historic 3-home run night. Great that Nestor Cortez had his best start in, I don't know, maybe months. But it's the White Sox. They're bums. That's what you're supposed to do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. Let's get right to the phones. We're going to talk Yanks with the Yankee fans because I'm going to stop trying to talk Mets fans off the ledge. I understand it's just not great right now. It could be better, and you just got to wait and see. Force the rubber match tomorrow. Like, even on Twitter, I put out, you know, we got to talk Mets. Like, it's more of a Mets conversation. I know, you know, a 4-game losing streak sucks, and, you know, you got to look at the positives, and just not, there's not more pros than cons. There's not more positives than negatives. And when you actually start to lay it all out, it's like, just got to wait and see. Just got to wait and see. You know, I had someone reply to me because I listed Jose Buto as someone to speak about tonight on The Fan. And they said, Jose Buto's better than every reliever on the Yankees. Sure, true. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I trust Jose Buto coming into the game for one out or 3 innings more than probably anybody coming out of the Yankees pen. But will Jose Buto be available for you later on tonight with the series on the line? No. No. I saw our very own Pete Hoffman put out there, this game was lost by the 3rd inning. Should have put Adam Ottavino out there. You know what I'm saying? 888-808-1019. And for the Yankees bullpen, Mark Leiter Jr., Tommy Canley, Jake Cousins tonight. And for a second there with Mark Leiter Jr., I was like, hey, hold the phone. But he ends up giving up 1 hit, 1 run, walking 2 guys. Canley, it got dicey for a second, and then they call out Jake Cousins. Jake Cousins had some family there. Jake Cousins gets his first ever save. That's it.
That's it. Yankees win. And now they force a rubber match with Will Warren on the mound. And I don't know how confident you feel about that, Yankee fans, but I still feel like they could lose the series to the White Sox, and that would be tragic. And I think if you lose a series to the worst team in the history of baseball, potentially, then maybe you're just disqualified from playing in the postseason. Let's go to Flushing. Bruce, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, Keith, some Yankee points. Before I get to my Yankee points, you're going to have to explain something to me. The Baltimore Orioles have one of the deepest teams in the majors. They have one of the deepest minor leagues in the majors. And they signed J.D. Davis?
Yeah, I gave me Aaron Hicks vibes. Like last year when Hicks gets let go and he ends up well on their team and he's playing better. Like it's a reclamation project. They think they can squeeze the last bit out of him. It's too hard to play in the pinstripes. Maybe it's easier to play in orange and black.
With the talent they have, I mean,
with the young talent they have, they don't need J.D. Davis at all.
They may be panicking after they're losing the last few weeks. Now, Yankee points. Cousins has been pitching the best as a Yankee reliever in the last 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed. You may think I'm crazy, but I would not be opposed to make him the closer because he has an idea where his pitchers go.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a slider, you know, this side of Sparky Lyle, because I'm old enough to remember Sparky Lyle's slider, and a decent fastball. I wouldn't be opposed to making Cousins the closer. You think I'm crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. And even tonight, I'm like, okay, no Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes obviously was available. Maybe they are leaning into a little bit more of, okay, we don't have to use Clay every time. Closer by committee, play a matchup. And since he has been solid, they're putting him in a more of a high-leverage situation. I wouldn't mind seeing him there. I know people were immediately like, Mark Leiter Jr. Mark Leiter Jr. has been a little shaky. Jake Cousins right now seems like a decent option. Who would have thought?
Now, I assume after Warren pitches tomorrow, they'll bring up Peraza. Am I mistaken in that assumption? Because the third baseman, went on a DL to make that move. Am I correct?
I don't think so yet. Let me check online.
Well, somebody had to call on DL for him to come up. Is either him or the center fielder?
Yeah, let me check Yankees PR to see what actually went down with that transaction.
All right. Second and third point. Now, we know this is all speculation. I understand that. Over the weekend, Al Citron was saying that, according to his sources, Steve Cohen is going to write a blank check for
Juan Soto, sure.
Soto. And he also said that Soto would probably enjoy playing for the Mets because they're not so buttoned down. Which I think that was more speculation than sources. Now, I know you have your own sources.
Uh-huh.
I know this is own speculation. But can you give something to us Yankee fans after listening to Al over the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Al. I didn't hear his show. I have no idea exactly like how he delivered it. But what I'll say is this. Look at how the pendulum swings. It keeps swinging back and forth. When the Mets were beating up the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, I got on that night, and I'm like, Juan Soto's been on the losing end of the Subway Series all four times. Those guys look like they're having fun in Yankee Stadium. They've got the oh my God sign. They're not buttoned up at all. The Yankees will never have a home run celebration prop. These guys got a pop star. They got a song. They got Grimace. They got fans dressing up like Grimace. Like, they just have a vibe right now. Well, that vibe evaporated. So, like, again, with Juan Soto, he's going to make a decision on who's going to offer me the most money. And let's say Hal Steinbrenner, who has a relationship with Steve Cohen, says to Steve, hey, may the best man win. We're going to fight you to the end on this one. You go up $50 million, we'll go up $50 million. And they go back and forth and go back and forth. Then eventually, after six counters and back and forth, Juan Soto's going to have to make a decision
What stadium does he want to play in? What jersey does he want to wear? What teammates does he want to have? And I think so much is dependent on how this year ends, and I keep saying that as well. The Yankees have an opportunity to go to the postseason. They're almost guaranteed, knock on wood, to be in the postseason. What if the Mets miss the postseason? Is Juan Soto going to sign for the next 10 to 15 years with a team that is like, I don't know, in the postseason every 5 years? Or the Yankees are perennial postseason contenders? Like, I just think that the pendulum keeps swinging. But ultimately, at the end of the year, we'll have a definitive, like, we'll know how Juan Soto performs in October with the Yankees. There could be a situation where they get to the World Series and lose. He may feel like he has unfinished business and have to come back to the Yankees. But the Yankees have to do what they're supposed to do and ante up and have, you know, they have to match whatever offer Steve Cohen potentially has out there. And it's going to go back to what I said in the beginning of the year. Juan Soto is going to be told by a lot of people, hey, your brand is going to wear better as a New York Yankee.
And that's why Brian Cashman should have made a deal for a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, don't get me started on it. Like, I love Nestor. Nestor and I consider Nestor a friend from when I've seen him. He's come on WFAN. He's been super cool. I've run into him, all that. I was willing to trade Nestor if we were going to get another starter. I'm glad Nestor's turned it on, but I know I got on the fan and said that, trade him. Trade Glaber. Trade anybody. We need another starter. This rotation is in flux right now. I don't trust Rodon. Rodon barking at umpires when he gets a little bit of a run here, four good starts. Cole right now is trying to really get back to being dominant. Gerrit Cole. We don't know where Clark Schmidt is. I thought he was on the way back. He needs to hurry up. Cody Poteet on the 60-day IL. Stroman has to, you know, skip a start, work on his mechanics. Who am I forgetting? Luis Gil is a young rookie figuring it out. Like, he just got rocked by the White Sox.
And that's why if you could have made that deal for the Detroit pitcher without giving up Spencer Jones, then I don't care.
I don't think anybody was getting Tarek Skubal, who pitched tonight, and that's part of the reason why.
I'm not talking about Skubal.
Oh, Flaherty?
I'm talking about the pitcher. Yeah, Flaherty. If you couldn't have Flaherty for a couple of lower, you know, Rodrigo Arias and somebody like that, or Brock,
I think the Dodgers gave up their, like, eighth overall prospect. The Yankees weren't going to move off on any of their top 10 prospects. For Flaherty, who they checked on his medicals, he had some back injections. He had some health issues.
You're looking good so far. Looking good so far.
No, yeah. Blake Snell, too. We were talking about trading for Blake Snell. Blake Snell's been stellar since the trade deadline passed.
And one last comment. For all you doubting Thomases, you know, especially some Yankee fans, but more particularly Sal, Spencer Jones is going to be a ball player. And in 2 years from now, you're going to eat your words saying he doesn't think he's going to be that good and he's overrated.
He's developing. Bruce, two things before I let you go. James Smythe, who works for the Yes Network, he's in the booth. He's like a statistician. He put out there that Will Warren coming back means someone is going to the IL. Must be Jazz. Another roster move would have to be made to drop a pitcher and add a position
player.
Most people are suspecting it's De Los Santos after his terrible outing two nights ago.
Yeah, but the problem is, in order to bring somebody up, you have to go on the DL. And with Santos, they're probably just going to release him.
Right, he just get it. I don't know. And then it's like, people are going to be like, another Cashman masterclass. That's who you added at the deadline. Oh, and then last but not least, what I was saying about Spencer Jones, we just saw the clip of Aaron Judge. I was at the game when Tyler Austin and Aaron Judge went a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. Judge looked like a different player. His stance, the way he ran the bases, he looked like he had no confidence. He looked like a different guy. He had the long pants. So, like, Spencer Jones is developing. No one has any idea what he's going to develop into. But I have an inkling that if he gets to be around Judge and he gets to be around Soto and he gets to continue to develop in the Yankee system, he's going to be a ball player for sure. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I don't know the answer as far as Will Warren coming up and who's getting sent down. We'll find out in the morning. They don't have to do that right now. We'll find out in the morning. But yeah, with the Soto thing as well, like, in modern day time, So much matters about your brand. I just was speaking on Judge. When Judge came up, he was an Under Armour guy. Then he elevated to be an Adidas guy. Then he elevated, after winning the American League MVP and setting the new AL home run record, to being a Nike Jump brand, a Jumpman Jordan brand guy. Where, like, you can't really get too much better than that. Judge recognized he could leave money on the table because being a San Diego Padre does not match up with keeping that same New York Yankee hat on your head. Juan Soto being here in New York, the Mecca, the capital of everything, the greatest city, the grandest stage. Like, I really do feel like choosing to stay with Aaron Judge and stay in the lineup with Judge. Judge used to bat second. Judge moved off a second for Juan Soto. Now Juan Soto has Judge protecting him. He's seeing pitches. So much so, he can lock in after forcing it two nights ago, come back to the ballpark and say, yo, I'm on everything tonight. I worked on my mechanics. I worked on my swing. I'm locked in. I'm focused. I was saying two nights ago, the Yankees lack focus. They lack urgency. They lack that level of preparation. Clearly, Boone didn't have them ready to come out there and play. Even Juan Soto fell victim to it. But you know what he did? He went to sleep in the hotel. He woke up the next day and he went to work because he's a centurion. He's trying to be a $50 million a year man. And for those of you that think he's about to get $700 million like Ohtani, you're mistaken. How can afford to pay Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton and DJ? Glaber's money's coming off the books. Clay Holmes can go anywhere. His money's coming off the books. It's not a lot. Rizzo coming off the books. They won't be paying Josh Donaldson his $6 million next year. I'm probably forgetting some guys. They're going to have the bread and they're going to have the young talent around them where, like, if you can't guarantee us a World Series, man, guarantee us Juan Soto and pinstripes, which gives us a pretty good shot no matter who's coming out of the bullpen, no matter who's in the rotation, no matter who's in the lineup, that if you've got those two guys at 2 and 3, I think you got a pretty good chance to get into the postseason and maybe you'll luck up in the next 7 years and win the crapshoot. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Bobby in Rockaway, New Jersey on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, man. I was calling to agree with you on, you know, the stuff with the Yankees tonight. I always said, like, with Soto hitting those three home runs tonight, you know, winning the game. It was kind of like, I thought it was like Pedro Serrano, and I can't say it on here, but Pedro Serrano in Major League saying, you know, to Joe Boo, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like one of those kind of things. I will
will us to victory. I have the power to put us on the board, like, it's crazy. As I was watching the game, I thought the same thing. And I'm like, Juan Soto is such a ridiculous player that after the most embarrassing loss like that, right, the rest of the team, I got to look at the box score. I know Judge had a knock. Who else had a knock? Verdugo had a knock. Judge had two knocks. Verdugo had a knock. Wells had a knock. Glaber had a knock. Cabrera had a knock. But other than that, I'm like, yo, the rest of y'all got to show up. Like, it can't just be Soto. The rest of y'all got to be pissed off. The rest of y'all got to show up to the ballpark looking for revenge from the night before. Juan Soto's got the right mentality. That's why he's worth everything. The intangibles, the, you know, just the example he sets. Like, just that there. That is something that we'll remember. You get embarrassed the night before. And this player who's here, who hasn't even been in pinstripes but of 5 months, he comes out and sets the tone and makes history with his first three-homer night because he locks in his level of focus, his eye at the plate, his preparation. He's like that.
Exactly. I mean, you look at him, too, in that last at-bat. He was 3-0, and I'm sitting there in my head. I'm like, he's going to swing 3-0 no matter what. And even that pitch was outside. He swings and he smiles because he knows, you know, that was going on. But, you know, with him, like you said, everyone needs to step up. The whole – with Volpe struggling now, I feel like I notice when he struggles, he's trying to pull the ball all the time. He's not going the other way. And he's, you know, he's always one of those, you know, down on the ball level swing guys. But when he tries to pull, it's when he starts getting into this funk. So we'll see if he can get through it. But
working his walks. But, yeah, they gotta lock in. He's got to get his mechanics of his swing right, for sure.
Right, right. And then, yeah, in terms of Warren starting tomorrow, obviously, yeah, you know, he's coming off those two bad starts. I mean, watching him last year in AAA and first in AA, he does, you know, I mean, it's good to get him accustomed. I don't know how confident he is now after that last start. But there's also, I mean, I don't know why they don't call up Yoandris Gomez, too, to also start a game. I know he doesn't give length. He hasn't given length in the minors in a while, but he should be a starter, but he had an injury. But he's been, besides that Mets game, the Mets game is the one only game that he allowed runs in. So I feel like he's another person who maybe, if you get him some more innings, maybe he could be someone in the bullpen at least to, you know, come out to in the postseason. I don't know. At this point, I'd take anyone.
Will Warren is top 10 prospect. I just was speaking on the Yankees not wanting to move off a top 10 prospect for a Jack Flaherty. We've seen him twice. We're about to see him a third time. He's slotted into that role. I think Cody Poteet going on the 60-day IL opened that up. Clark Schmidt not being ready kind of opened that up. He's the guy, and I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him. Like, this should be a softer landing spot. This should be a softer landing spot coming in to face the White Sox here. He has to have a good showing. And the bullpen should be ready. Like, you know, Luke Weaver didn't pitch tonight. He's going to be ready. Michael Tonkin is going to be ready. Like, Clay Holmes is going to be ready. So if he can give us a solid five innings without giving up four runs, we should be good.
Right. And you talk about, too, next year with, like, putting the money forth for Soto. I mean, he'd obviously be in the mix for it. I mean, I don't know what's happening. I know Chase Hampton's still in Double-A, but he's obviously someone up there with the top prospects for us, too. So, I mean, he's kind of going along. But, yeah, you got to – I mean, the way the team is now, you know, we talked about it the other night, too. Like, you know, they need to have that more – that fire, that, you know, that eye of the tiger kind of mentality. And, I mean, it's coming. But, you know, you look at Detroit, too. Detroit just put up a crooked number.
15 on the Mariners with Skubal on the mound. Yeah. Like, anybody can get got, you know. Just as we're calling the Mariners elite, talking about their rotation and Cal Raleigh and the bats that they added at the deadline, like, baseball is crazy. Nobody can predict baseball. Nobody knows what's going to go on night to night.
It is. Yeah, you're right. And just like that, I mean, too, I mean, I was reeling after last night, too. But, you know, yeah, you can recover from it from the next day, and you have to just keep moving forward. But we'll see what they can do. You know, it's. I know we're probably looking at Peraza coming up. Another name, he's not on the 40-man, so, I mean, it's not another name for now, but maybe for the future. There's Caleb Durbin, who's in the minors, too, who I feel like he's just like one of those pesky, you know, middle infielders, third base kind of guys. And he could be someone maybe next year, maybe vying for a utility role, too.
Next year, when Gleyber Torres is gone, it's probably Yorbit Vivas and Caleb Durbin in spring training trying to get that second base spot. Thanks for the call, Bobby. I'm up against it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.